I could be moving from my office to being one of those absolute degenerates that smells like moldy cheese and death.
Grover isn't around as much, but Oscar the Grouch is still around a lot. Elmo has taken a prominent role. I mean, he's like the main character.
That's right. Welcome into another edition of the Godfather and Gorney podcast. My name is Dave Barry, and I am joined by the stars of the show, Adam Gorney and Mike Farrell. Guys, obviously a wild weekend again in college football with Ohio State falling to Purdue. So we're going to start right there. Mike, give me your immediate thoughts on that.
Immediate thoughts is I wonder why every year they seem to have a bad loss. Urban Meyer is supposed to be a great coach. This probably knocks them out of the playoff contention if Michigan wins out or some other programs win out. But this makes no sense to me that they would lose this badly. So, Gorney, you're the Urban Meyer guy. You followed him at Florida. You covered him at Florida. Why do they have a loss like this? Last year with Iowa, a few years ago when they had the most talented team that I've seen in college football in a long time, they lost to Michigan State when he didn't run Ezekiel Elliott. Is this coaching or is this just bad players?
No, it's definitely not bad players. I think it's a little bit of coaching. I think it's getting into tough spots. Playing at Iowa at night's always tough, but it's the way they're losing. They got blown out by Purdue, which is a fine football team, but not exactly on the Ohio State level. If they played that game 10 times, I think Ohio State would probably win 8 or 9 of them. It's the way they lose. It's the way Urban Meyer sinks on the sideline. It's just the way that Dwayne Haskins throwing the ball 70 times in the game. You know, when they lost at Michigan State, they didn't run Ezekiel Elliott. So it's these bad losses. But I do disagree with one thing. I think Ohio State here is fine. If they still control their own destiny, if they win out, they get into the playoff. But, you know, the freak out after this is we have so many problems on this team and there were so many things masked that we didn't realize. And, you know, if you run the ball, you have J.K. Dobbins and Mike Weber. Your offensive line should be able to beat Purdue's small defensive line. You have five receivers who are all very good. Paris Campbell, K.J. Hill, Terry McLaurin. You have maybe the best quarterback in the country. You do have a defensive end that quit on your football team, so and we can talk about that. If that played any factor in this team not focusing, getting ready for Purdue. But there is a little bit, and it did peak up when I covered Urban at Florida. There is a little woe is me and, you know, putting his hands on his knees and looking down and, you know, and that could be contagious. But it's also a team that's one of the best in the country. And when you go to Purdue on a Saturday night and Purdue has really not a whole lot to play for and it's not a really exciting football program, or you go to Iowa on Saturday night, which is a very exciting place to play, or you go to Michigan State. That's their biggest game of the year. Ohio State has to come in every single week ready to play. Purdue's offense is very good. The quarterback is very good. Rondale Moore is one of the best receivers in the country. So this is definitely a surprise. Not a surprise that Purdue won. A lot of people thought that this could be kind of an upset special on Saturday night, and it was. But definitely a poor performance by Urban Meyer and his team.
So you think if Oklahoma wins out, let's say Clemson, let's say Alabama, and let's say Notre Dame are in. You know, and again, there could be upsets. If you think Oklahoma wins out, faces Texas perhaps in a rematch in the Big 12 championship game, and Ohio State wins out, you think Oklahoma's out and Ohio State's in?
All I know is that they're going to take the Big 10 champion over the Big 12 champion. Whoever it is, the Big 10 champion is going to be in.
Even if it's Oklahoma, though. I mean, it's a big-name program.
Yeah, I mean, that's where they get into a little bit of a problem, and I think Oklahoma would certainly have an argument. But I just don't see a scenario in those TV markets in that part of the country where the Big Ten champion is out. Every week I get these emails from ESPN and ABC that the Ohio State broadcast brought in the most amount of people. The Ohio State replay brought in the second most amount of people. There's absolutely no way in my mind that if Michigan wins out, or if Ohio State wins out, they're not in the playoff.
I don't think we have to worry about Ohio State winning out after that performance anyways. I can't see them. You know, before this weekend, I thought they would win out, but this was such a poor performance I really don't see, after watching Michigan take care of Michigan State, how good that defense is. I'm not sure how Ohio State's going to handle Michigan.
Yeah, and they still have to go to Michigan State. I mean, that's not going to be a guaranteed win, Michigan. And then they'll play Wisconsin probably, or Iowa. I would imagine Iowa still has a chance in that game. But, you know, I'm not going to discount this Ohio State team just yet. After they lost to Iowa last year by 31, they let Iowa score 55. They beat Michigan State the following week 48-3. This is certainly not a team that's going to give up and just pack it in. But I do have to say, this is an Ohio State team that didn't look great against TCU, and TCU's not, you know, the most exceptional team in the country. They should have lost at Penn State. And now they lost at Purdue. So of the teams that were undefeated, you have to look at Ohio State and say, you know, they were not the one clicking on all cylinders. A lot of people thought that was Clemson, but Clemson looks pretty tough now. So, I would certainly say that Ohio State-Michigan game, I don't think Michigan State's offense can score points. So their offense is just so bad. But that Ohio State-Michigan game just got a whole lot more interesting. And right now, you would think Michigan would be the favored team in that game.
Well, is the Michigan State offense really bad because it did look bad, or is the Michigan defense that good? I mean, Michigan's defense is, I think, the best in the country. I would put LSU right up there, put Alabama up there, put Clemson up there. I'm not sure who else I'd put in the top five.
Florida.
I would definitely put – Florida's defense is very good. I definitely would put Michigan's defense at the top, though, and they made Michigan State look really poor. Michigan State isn't a bad team. You know, Lewerke got benched in that game. I'm sure he'll be back. But I'm wondering how good Michigan is. You know, the early loss to Notre Dame obviously turning out to be a good football team. But you mentioned Ohio State, you know, TCU, Penn State. These are teams that are struggling badly against average opponents. So I guess I've sort of flipped quite a bit. And I do think the Boza thing had something to do with it. It did cost them the 49-20 loss.
Right.
But I do think that distraction had this team a little bit less focused than they should be. I wrote about the Boza thing. I thought he was quitting on his team. Of course, every snowflake.
You jerk.
Ohio State fan in the world told me I was a jerk and, you know, let me know that it's his right to do that. Of course it's his right to do that. I wrote that, but I just don't think that's what you do with your team. You know, Rashawn Gary's got a shoulder injury. Should he pack it in?
Right.
There hasn't been any talk of that happening, and I'm not sure if there will be. You know, I think the Boza distraction didn't help things, but Purdue's a pretty good football team, but they're not this good. I mean, no. I watched them play a couple times earlier this season. They just destroyed them. I mean, yeah. It wasn't even close. The defense looks horrible for Ohio State. That's what worries me the most. I mean, Michigan doesn't have a great offense, but they've got an offense that can run the football. They can play power. They got play action. Shea Patterson can run the ball. He can throw the ball downfield. I'm just really not sold on this Ohio State team after watching this. This wasn't a, you know, lose by a field goal and an upset in a whiteout. This was lose by 29 points and just get embarrassed by an average football team.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, as you look at Michigan this year, and I've watched a lot of them too, and they do look like a different football team. Their defense is still very, very good, just like last year, but now they can score points. They've won every game other than Northwestern by double digits. Beating Wisconsin the way they did was very impressive. And beating Michigan State the way they did, too, was also very impressive. Now, Michigan, like I said, I don't think Michigan State's offense is very good. Felton Davis went down with an injury, so they had no passing game. They don't use L.J. Scott in the run game anymore, so they really didn't have much to go to offensively. But, you know, the way Michigan's defense is so good that their offense just has to move the ball and score a few points, and they're going to win a lot of games. You know, I think Penn State coming in there in 2 weeks, I think Michigan could give them a thumping. Penn State looks like a terrible football team in the last 3 weeks, and I don't understand why. They're definitely not elite. Rutgers and Indiana will definitely be wins, and then going to Ohio State. It all comes down to that game. You know, We can talk Penn State if you want to, but they're kind of irrelevant at this point in the Big Ten discussion. But the way that Michigan played against Wisconsin, they scored 38 points, moved the ball against them. Shea Patterson, not exactly putting up the biggest stats, but he keeps plays alive. He keeps the defense honest so they can run the ball with Higdon and Evans. I'm very, very impressed by this Michigan team, but I still think going to Ohio State on November 24th, that game is always a toss-up.
Did you see the antics before the game, the Michigan State game?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I did.
So stupid. I mean, Michigan State was stupid, and then Devin Bush was stupid. I'm not sure who was dumber, though. It's hard for me to really write about that or to think about that because I thought Devin Bush's antics were childish.
Yes.
I thought he was above that. But then Mark D'Antonio is 5 feet behind his team as they're marching down the field arm in arm. And they did that to provoke that situation.
Yeah, and Mark D'Antonio said after the game that was BS and he wasn't going to talk about it. But there's video of him standing right behind his
team.
There
sure is.
With a smirk on his face like Mr. Burns from The Simpsons. That was dumb. It was completely stupid that anybody who was in charge of which team should be on the field at what time to have them both on the field at the same time, and it was stupid for Devin Bush to try to kick up the field. It was just a dumb situation overall. Michigan State locking arms hand in hand and their coach walking behind them, and I think they knocked some headphones off of a player. Harbaugh calling it, if anything was smart about it, it was Harbaugh calling it Bush League. Sitting under the stadium after beating Michigan State and calling it Bush League. That was actually kind of funny. But D'Antonio saying it was BS. What was BS? There's video of you walking right behind them. How is that BS?
I don't know. And again, someone said that they were on the other side of the 50 or whatever. It wouldn't have mattered where the players were. That was clearly an orchestrated, foolish act by Michigan State. And then Devin Bush looked like an idiot trying to rip up the Spartan logo. So,
yeah.
But, the takeaway from that game is Michigan's starting to get off the schneid here a little bit. That was a road win against a top 25 team. That hasn't happened in a very, very long time.
That's had Harbaugh's number. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that are happening here. I mean, obviously, people forget how bad this program was under Rich Rodriguez and Brady Hoke. But, now they're in really good shape. They control their own destiny, which is something I don't think we really would have thought coming into this season.
So if they win out, are they out?
If they win out, are they out? No, they got the momentum. They had their first loss, and it's to a top five team.
Yeah.
Ohio State's loss to Purdue is really bad. That's a really bad loss. Now, I agree with you. Obviously, Ohio State gets the benefit of the doubt. Urban Meyer is a superstar coach. They got in the playoff, what was it? Was it last year?
Two years ago. Yeah.
So, I mean, I get the star power and the ratings and all that other stuff that comes into it, but that's a really bad loss right there. Whereas Michigan's one loss is to who? An undefeated top five program.
Yeah, at Notre Dame, first game of the season, and it was a 7-point loss. So that loss is much better. Oklahoma's loss was much better, but I just still don't think it matters. Somehow, some way, they're going to justify it. If Ohio State wins out, they're going to justify it.
We'll see. It'll be interesting because Oklahoma, I had written them off because I thought Ohio State would win out. I really did. I mean, so much has changed over this past weekend after watching Michigan beat Michigan State. I thought they would win that game by a field goal in a close game. They absolutely swarmed Michigan State. The defense was suffocating.
Yeah.
I thought Ohio State would easily beat Purdue. I didn't think this was going to be a problem at all. I thought Ohio State would win out, beat Michigan, and then Oklahoma would be pretty much out of it regardless because they had no chance. But now Oklahoma's back in it a little bit. And the other interesting part of it is, let's say the SEC, let's say somebody beats Alabama in the championship game. You don't keep Alabama out, do you?
Well, you would have to if Georgia beats them.
No, you wouldn't have to. I mean,
you could take two, sure.
Sure. The SEC. You want to talk about TV ratings?
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking the SEC. So let's say you know, Georgia runs the table and Alabama runs the table, and Georgia ends up upsetting them in the championship game, especially as dominant. Let's say Alabama is as dominant as they have been all season long, and they lose by a field goal in the SEC championship game.
Yeah, do you not take them?
I mean, you have to take the SEC champion, and then you leave Alabama out. So, I don't know. It's become very interesting. Ohio State has no one to blame but themselves. What do you think about the Bosa thing? Because I wrote about it and got a lot of flack about it.
Now, it's a situation where if he could come back in 2 weeks and be a perfectly healthy, that's one thing. But it seems like a situation where he could come back in 2 weeks, but he might not be ready for 5 weeks or 6 weeks. Shutting it down is never a good look. Michigan has done this without Rashawn Gary for 2 weeks, but he's working to come back. And Rashawn Gary is going to be a first-round draft pick. Nick Bosa is pretty much guaranteed to be maybe the top pick, top three, four pick. We'll see how NFL teams think about this. I don't think it's all that bad of a move. If we're talking about what college kids should do, it's to be prepared for the NFL. Now, he is giving up on his team. There's absolutely no doubt about that. He could come back at some point this season if they're making a run to the national championship. It's not like he's playing on a team that's not bowl eligible, that won't be in a bowl. Sure, he's giving up on his team, but if he, you know, if he admits that he's giving up on his team, preparing for the NFL is a good thing. It does make him, it will make NFL teams question his competitive level, though. There's no doubt about it. How would you not? If he gets hurt,
why quit and leave the team?
I know. I just don't. I don't know.
Just do what Rashawn Gary's doing, rehab, and then you know, even just lie, say you're not ready to come back in December.
Yeah, exactly. There's no way if he goes to the Ohio State training staff and says I still don't feel well, that they're going to put him in the game. So there's no understanding for it. I don't blame kids for saving their bodies for the NFL. I don't blame, you know, David Shaw not running Bryce Love nearly as much to save his body for the NFL because, you know, they're playing for free right now. But leaving the team, going to train for the NFL mid-season after you get hurt, that sets a really bad precedent. I hope the NFL takes a hard look at that because what I don't want college football to become is you redshirt 1 year, you play 1 year, you get your NFL status, then you get, you know, an injury or you just kind of sit out your third year and go to the NFL because that will ruin the sport.
Yeah, and it's almost what Clowney did, except Clowney played.
And Steve Spurrier basically called him out on it and said that he's just kind of sitting around.
Right, but at least he didn't quit on the team. Like, be with the team, be on the sidelines, root on your teammates. These are guys. He's also, by the way, he's a captain.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what really bothered me is that you're a captain and you just quit on your team. You know, just stay with the team, rehab, work with the doctors. You don't have to go off and train for the NFL now, especially when you're injured. What are you going to do? I mean, what amazing training are you going to be able to do when you have a core injury?
Right, exactly.
Stay with the team, stay on the sidelines, show your support. These are guys that you've bled with and worked hard with. That's what really bothered me about the whole thing. And I don't know. It's just – but I was in the minority. I mean, there was nobody defending my take on this, which was that he was a quitter.
We live in a PC world, though, Mike. You can't come out against anything or anybody. Everything is
the feel-good
story.
And you can't call a 20-year-old a quitter.
No, you can't. No. And it's interesting, too, that this – you know, Joey Bosa was injured, too. I mean, he missed the first 4 weeks of his rookie season because of injury. You know, I wonder how much the NFL is definitely going to take a serious look at this. Behind the scenes, you know, as I read that Aaron Hernandez piece in the Boston Globe, Urban Meyer was talking very negatively about Aaron Hernandez to NFL teams, as he probably should have been. I wonder behind the scenes, and before any Aaron Hernandez, Nick Bosa comparisons come out, stop them right there. I'm just saying that people behind the scenes, I'm sure Urban Meyer is not thrilled with this decision. I'm sure Nick Bosa's position coaches are not thrilled with this decision. So I wonder what they're going to say to NFL teams about his decision to leave the team mid-season because he had a core injury.
And people think I hate Bosa. You know who his dad was? Dad was an All-American at Boston College.
You should love him. John Bosa.
Of course I love him. His dad was a first-round draft pick out of Boston College for the Miami Dolphins. I mean, we're talking about Boston College. you know, this is a family that is true to my heart.
Yeah.
And but yet, I don't like what I see. And I said the same thing about Jalen Hurd when he quit on his team.
Right.
And Tennessee fans didn't get upset because they agreed with me that he quit on his team. I said the same thing about Christian McCaffrey when he skipped the bowl game. Same thing about Leonard Fournette when he skipped the bowl game.
Yep.
I wrote when Jalen Smith got injured, I wrote that this was going to happen. This was years ago. I knew this was a trend that was going to start. Now, I didn't know it would be shut it down at the middle of the season. But next is exactly what you're talking about. You know, you play a year and a half, you play 2 years, and then you just shut it down your entire junior year.
Yeah.
And you just sit out and wait. And it's going to happen. And whoever does it, again, like you said, I hope the NFL takes a hard look at them because those guys are just looking to cash a rookie contract, and that's it. They're not looking for anything beyond that. Now, again, your second contract is your big one in the NFL, and Joey Bosa will get a great contract. And he didn't sit out or anything like that. There was some talk of him not going to certain teams if he was drafted and all this
right.
other stuff. But Nick Bosa, he'll be drafted top five. He'll get his rookie contract. And then we'll see what happens. I think he's a great talent. I think he's a tremendous talent. Part of that is the reason why I'm so upset about it. Because we get robbed of seeing the best defensive player for Ohio State play when the games matter. Now, of course, after this loss to Purdue, games don't matter nearly as much, but they're still in the playoff hunt, and they could use him rehabbing and coming back and maybe perhaps his support as a team captain. But it sends the worst message possible to everybody.
Would you say the same thing about Rashawn Gary, another player that you have tremendous amount of respect for if he doesn't come back this year?
Yeah, I would be upset. I mean, if he came out and said, you know, I don't want to hurt my shoulder anymore, I'm going to shut it down, I would be upset. You know, and again, I don't know John Bosa. I know Rashawn Gary's mother a little bit. You know, I don't know their family values, and I don't know their financial situation. I don't know anything about what goes into the decision. But I just know that I'd be upset.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't. I don't think Harbaugh plays that. I don't think Don Brown plays that. I don't think they're giving that kid the leeway to do that. I think they're just fully expecting him as a leader of that football team to come back and play in valuable, you know, playoff caliber games. And I just think that Urban doesn't care. I don't think he cares that somebody does that. It's just the way I feel about it.
See, I think Urban cares greatly, but publicly he can't say that he cares.
He doesn't seem like cares.
He cares. He wants to win, boy. He wants to win bad, and I think he thinks this is a slight against him and his program for all the work they put into getting Nick Bosa there, for him not to come back because of a core injury after playing three games. That's not really great. So I think he cares.
Well, let's talk about something else that's near and dear to my heart.
Okay.
Did you see the targeting against Devin White?
Yes. Yes.
It was a joke.
It's a joke. It really is a joke. And, you know, I tweeted about this Thursday night because KJ Costello was in the Stanford Arizona State game. KJ Costello was running for a first down, and I forget who pulled him down, but he literally grabbed Costello by the face mask during the run, turned him, whipped his head onto the ground. And he got 15 yards and a personal foul penalty. Devin White hits a guy, and he's kicked out of the game and kicked out of the first half of the Alabama game. The rule is so drastic. The penalty is so drastic, and I understand what they're trying to do. But it's hard. I saw a targeting this week. The quarterback in the Penn State game, there was another one, Penn State, Indiana. Michael Penix, the quarterback for Indiana, comes in. The linebacker lowers his shoulder to hit him. Penix dips his shoulder into the Penn State linebacker's head, targeting, kicked out of the game. I mean, it's crazy how the defense can't do anything in these games. And for that to happen to Devin White is really, really unfortunate. Now, I saw a conspiracy theory on Twitter that the SEC and Alabama are colluding to get LSU's best player out of the game. I'm not sure I buy that one, but it's really, really unfortunate that he's not only kicked out of this game, but misses the first half of the biggest game of the year.
Yeah, and targeting was supposed to be helmet to helmet, you know, real dangerous football plays.
Yeah.
This wasn't that. This was, you know, it wasn't even hands to the face. It was, they say, the neck and head area. It was probably right below his throat, you know, where he sort of pushed him a little bit. But if you're going to sit somebody for the half of the next game, which happens to be the Alabama game, happens to be the most important game on their schedule and a huge game with playoff implications, it should be a little bit more egregious than what Devin White did. And
yeah.
I think they should have ratings, and I think they should be allowed to go back to change those ratings. I think, hey, listen, if that's your call on the field and you look at it, you know, based on immediate replay evidence,
yeah,
you say he's out of the game and that he's supposed to miss the next, but it shouldn't be a hard and fast rule. You should be able to look at it and say, you know what, this kid, all right, he got kicked out. He missed the last 5 minutes of the Mississippi State game. Game was over anyways, but there's no way he should sit. That's what I think they should be allowed to do, but obviously that's not going to happen.
And targeting is one of those things, like they say about pornography, Mike, and you know full well about pornography.
I know nothing about that. I don't even know what you're talking about.
You know it when you see it, you know? Like, if a receiver is coming across the middle and a safety comes down and puts his helmet right on his face mask, that's targeting. When Devin White pushes Nick Fitzgerald and the crown of his helmet brushes against his face mask, maybe, that's not targeting. So it's just a shame that everyone knows what targeting is, but the refs are calling any time a defender, and that's the thing too, you can't go low on quarterbacks and you can't go high on quarterbacks. And it's hard to go middle. You can't be running at someone and then dip down and still hit him. So it was just a shame that that happened to Devin White, and it's a shame that that's happening to the sport.
How bad is Nick Fitzgerald?
Oh, man. You know, people think he's going to – there's no possible way he could be an NFL quarterback. I mean, he runs so well in that offense. But the offense is really suffering because Joe Moorhead is a brilliant offensive mind. You know, what he did with Trace McSorley 2 years ago, look at Penn State's offense this year. Trace McSorley has 11 touchdown passes. He's completing like 58% of his passes, I think. He either doesn't trust his receivers or he can't see them over the line. I don't know what it is. But Nick Fitzgerald is going to have to switch positions. I mean, they scored 3 points against LSU. They had 6 against Florida, 7 against Kentucky. That's not really good.
Yeah, he's horrible. I mean, their offense is so one-dimensional. That game was extremely boring, which is, again, why it was garbage time. You know, so what are you going to do? You're going to take out your best players with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter so that they don't accidentally,
right,
you know, hit somebody and get a targeting call like that? Because now, in hindsight, Devin White shouldn't have been on the field.
Yeah,
and I know. By the way, how good is Grant Delpit?
I know. He's awesome. I loved him in high school.
Should have been a five-star.
I loved him in high school. Nobody listened to me. You didn't listen to me. You told me to shut the hell up.
It wasn't me. I wrote in our final rankings in one of my three-point stances, I wrote about 5 or 6 guys that I thought were ranked too low.
Yeah.
And Grant Delpit was one of them. He's number 70 in the country, and I had a feeling that this kid was going to be awesome.
Yeah.
So if we want to blame anybody, we can blame Rob Cassidy and Nick Kruger. We can blame those two guys.
Let's blame him.
Texas is where he came from, and, you know, IMG is where he played. So it's got to be those two guys who screwed this up. But
yeah, he's
awesome.
The
kid is unbelievable. You know, I'm doing this Feral 50 thing midseason, which is, by the way, one of the hardest things I have to do because you have to figure out who is good in the middle of the season, and it's difficult, especially with games going on. I've got him like 37th or something. He's coming out tomorrow's list, and that's low.
Yeah.
I think in the final, he's going to be in the top 20. He's going to be one of the top 20 players in the country.
Yeah, I think so, too. He's phenomenal. That defense is very, very good. The way that they're playing, you know, I don't see how they could possibly keep up with Alabama offensively. But I think that could be an interesting game. If somehow they could, if Ed Orgeron and Dave Aranda can figure out a way to slow down Tua and that pass game, I think that game could be interesting. But I don't hold out much hope because I think Alabama, with that defense, which has been very good but not exceptional, I think the game could be interesting at LSU. But I have too much faith in Tua and those receivers, and they could just score points at will. It's amazing. Gary Danielson said something during the Tennessee-Alabama game when it was, you know, it was basically over in the first quarter, that Alabama's point totals in the first half, they're averaging 38 points per first half, would put them 23rd in the country.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. They're usually up 21-0 by the end of the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
That's been the score, I think, three times this season.
Yeah.
It's 21-0. Or they maybe have 28-0. I don't even know.
They have 433 points this season. That means they are outscoring Mississippi State and Arkansas combined. They're just behind Auburn and Texas A&M combined. That's amazing.
Tua's having a pretty good year, too. 25 touchdowns, no interceptions.
That's not too bad for a Tua star, as someone called him once.
Tua star. We're going to bring that up forever. Of course, I hate him because he's a lefty, but still. What are you going to do? How about Pullman? What an atmosphere that was.
Awesome, huh? Yeah, it was. And, you know, the danger of having game day so early and then playing the night game is that the crowd burns itself out or drinks itself out. You know what I'm saying, Mike? But
I don't know what you're talking about. But
you know what I'm saying. Yeah. But it was a great atmosphere, and I do want to get your thoughts on this. If you're an NFL team, you love Justin Herbert that much? I mean,
I do. Really do. And he's going to come back.
Yeah.
He just said he's coming back for his senior year. You know, the reason I like him that much is because he can make every throw known to man.
Yeah, he can.
So, and the rest of the quarterbacks this year are not very good. I mean, who else are you going to take? Not that they're going to take him because, again, he says he's coming back. But who else do you like better as a pro prospect? Even looking at the younger classes.
Yeah.
I don't like Tua better than Herbert. I don't like Haskins better than Herbert. Haskins can't deal with a pass rush. We learned that.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So, I think he's got all the skills you're looking for. Who was it? Bledsoe said that hasn't seen a college quarterback in the last 20 years that has a skill set of Herbert when it comes to making those throws.
That would include Tom Brady, I think, right?
Well, Tom Brady coming out wasn't what everybody thought Tom Brady would be.
Yeah, I like Justin Herbert.
Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback to come out of. I mean, we all knew I knew that.
Yeah, you had that one pegged perfectly.
Yeah.
I think the hype on Herbert.
That tweet is never going to go away.
No, it's not going to go away. It's not going to go away.
It's like the Matt Miller, Cam Newton's a tight end tweet.
Yeah.
It's just never going to stop. It's never going to die. I'm gonna die before that tweet stops being retweeted.
And no matter how right you are on everything else, it's still going to just come back. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Well, everybody focuses on the negative.
Yeah, right.
I was waiting for people to jump into my defense on the Nick Bosa thing. Nobody jumped in. Not one person.
No.
All the snowflakes came out and said that I was a horrible, mean person.
Yeah.
And there wasn't one. Now, Herb Street did say that he didn't approve of it on game day, but he said it much more eloquently than I did. I'm not an eloquent person.
No, you got right to the point.
I did, which is what you're supposed to do.
Right.
But I don't know. Maybe that's why I'm such an amazing columnist, is because I get right to the point. But
I think
Herb Street said he quit on his team, and I felt that he did as well. But, you know, I'm just waiting for somebody to not focus on the negative when it comes to Twitter. It's just not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen, and that's why it's a cesspool, and that's why daily active users are stagnant, monthly active users are stagnant, because no one wants to involve themselves in that. Anything
so
you say,
negative.
You're a jerk, you're an idiot, you know nothing.
If
you
I didn't
play
have to
football?
Do it for my job, I wouldn't be on Twitter.
Oh,
no way
absolutely
would
not.
I be on Twitter.
Absolutely not. And you know, I could be wrong just because of how I've formed my Twitter following and followers or whatever, but it's just for people to go on there and either report the news, follow the news, or be snarky. That's like the only reason to be on that whole site.
Yep. It's like, it doesn't matter what you tweet. You can tweet anything you want.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to disagree with you.
Yeah. But as for Herbert, Mike, I love the kid. I think he's very, very talented. Another one of those kids who was drastically, vastly under-recruited and ended up at a perfect spot for him. But when we're talking about the last 20 years of quarterbacks...
it's Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah.
He's not a scout, and he doesn't really follow college football that
He's a winemaker now, I think, isn't he? Doesn't he?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good thing he got hurt, otherwise Tom Brady wouldn't have led the Patriots to 5 Super Bowls. That's all I can say.
Yeah, the double back winery. That's former NFL quarterback Drew Bledsoe owning a winery. It's been a long time aspiration.
So which team's going to get upset next?
You know, that's a question that I was going to ask you. Let me look at the rankings.
Because, some of these undefeated teams.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Someone's going to get – I mean, Notre Dame, they could lose to Navy. Wouldn't stun me. They could. They have trouble with Navy every year.
So three –
wouldn't stun me.
Are you talking about just the top three?
Undefeated, you know, the Alabamas, Clemsons, and Notre Dames of the world.
Okay. So Alabama obviously has LSU. That's going to be at least an interesting
game. UCF doesn't matter. South Florida doesn't matter.
How about Charlie Strong?
What a great coach.
What a guy.
I mean, he just took care of, what, UConn? That's tough. Yeah. I don't know how they won that game, 38-30. What an embarrassment.
Yeah, that
is embarrassing. They should have to forfeit that win because they only beat UConn by 8 points and they only scored 38 points against them.
I know, that is
I mean, that's why the AAC and why the Group of Five, they don't matter. Nobody cares.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about UCF, okay? I don't want to hear about UCF anymore. They beat a bad Auburn team in the bowl game last year. They think they beat Alabama. They play nobody every week. They just inched by Memphis. The next week, Memphis goes to Missouri, and Missouri scores 65. They could have scored 165. So I don't want to hear anything about UCF anymore. Number 10 in the country is a joke. I don't want to hear it.
So it's Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame. One of these teams is going to lose a game. Who's it going to be?
Could Clemson go to Florida State and lose?
I just don't see that. Very difficult.
They're certainly not going to lose to Louisville. I think at Boston College might be slightly tricky.
No.
Duke and South Carolina, I just don't see happening.
No, so they're not losing.
Let's go to Alabama. Alabama, LSU should be a good, decent enough game, at least a test. But when Nick Saban is tested, and this team, which really hasn't been tested all year and has blown everybody out, gets tested, I think they're going to answer the bell and win 31-14. Mississippi State can't score. Citadel, Auburn can't score. Maybe in the SEC championship against Florida or Georgia. Maybe.
Notre Dame's going to be the team that loses.
Notre Dame. They're not going to lose to Navy. Navy is a bad football team. Houston just blew Navy out.
You never know.
You never know.
It's hard to prepare for Navy.
If there's one game that I see on this schedule that could be tricky, I think Syracuse can score with Notre Dame, so that could be a shootout.
They just benched their quarterback, though. Remember that.
That's okay.
So they got Tommy DeVito is now their starting quarterback. He doesn't have the experience.
At USC will be very tricky. If USC wants to play, which there are questions about USC even wanting to go on the field anymore. That could be a tricky game. The prospect of ruining Notre Dame's college football playoff chance, that will be the tricky game. If I had to say one team was going to lose, it would be Notre Dame. Something tells me all three are going to win out, and that's going to sound stupid, and it's going to sound like I can't look ahead, and it never happens that way, but I think all three win out.
So that means Michigan is the fourth playoff team.
No. The winner,
when they beat Ohio State and run the table.
If they beat Ohio State, Harbaugh has not beaten Urban yet. Took him to overtime 2 years ago, but...
What about that call on, what was it, fourth down?
In the Michigan game?
Yeah. Bad call, bad spot.
I don't know which call you're talking about. No, I don't.
There was a call like 2 years ago. Like,
oh, you're talking about the game in overtime 2 years. Yes, yes, very bad spot, yes.
The angles of the picture. Remember, there was some where he was like 7 yards short of the first down. Others where he got the first down like 5 yards, and the angle was amazingly played with quite a bit. That was a close game, though. That was a very, very, very close game.
Would that be a good Final Four for you, Mike? It'd be Alabama, Michigan,
yep.
Clemson, Notre Dame.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
I think that would be nice. I'd like to see Clemson play Clemson play Notre Dame. I think Clemson would win.
Yeah, I do too.
That game, but I think it would be a good game. And then Alabama, Michigan, that'd be real interesting. Because that defense against that offense, I would love to see. Now, there's a chance it could be like the Alabama-Notre Dame game in, what, 2012?
Or the Alabama-Michigan State game, where Alabama wrecked them.
It could be ugly. But and Don Brown is a god, don't forget.
He is.
And that's only because he coached at Boston College and had the number one defense in the country 2 years in a row at Boston College, which is impossible to do. But Don Brown can keep them in that game. And that running game, I like the running game. Offensive line isn't very good, but Higdon, he always falls forward. They can slow down the game quite a bit.
Yep.
I just don't know if the defense can hang. I just don't know if the defense can hang with Alabama.
Alabama's very good. But Michigan, that would be a very interesting game. Something tells me it'd be close for a quarter and a half, and then Alabama would score, Michigan would turn the ball over, Alabama would score again, and then Michigan wouldn't be able to keep up. But then
it would be Clemson, Alabama again.
Again, yeah, and that would be very, very interesting. Trevor Lawrence in the national title game as a freshman.
How good does he look?
I know. He looks great. He looks very, very good. And we had him number one.
The quarterbacks, we had number one. Out of all of them, over the years, no one's looked better this early.
No, definitely not.
This kid is just unbelievable. I watch the ball come off his hand, and then I watch, like, Lewerke throw.
Yeah.
Or Shea Patterson, who was our number one quarterback a few years ago, throw. And the ball comes off, and it's just, like, hanging. And this kid's ball, I mean, he is throwing the ball on a just laser-like level.
Now, let me ask
you a serious question. He's Peyton Manning. That's exactly who he is.
Let me ask you a serious question, except for with those awful Brad Paisley commercials. Hopefully Trevor Lawrence never stoops
to that. I like those commercials. You don't like those commercials?
One was funny. Now we're on to round seven.
Funny. No, little baby not. Shoes? That's funny.
Let me ask you this question.
I crack up every time.
Serious question. You're an NFL team. If you could take Trevor Lawrence or Justin Herbert right now, who would you take?
Trevor Lawrence.
Absolutely. I completely
agree. Without hesitation.
I completely agree. So if
He's going to be the number one pick in 2 years. Three years.
Yeah. If Justin Herbert is the best quarterback in the last 20 years, then Trevor Lawrence is the best quarterback in the last 200 years.
We're talking talented as far as arm talent
and
things like that. And we're talking about what Drew Bledsoe said. We're not talking about anybody else. Not that Drew Bledsoe doesn't know what he's talking about. I mean, the guy was a great quarterback.
Right.
Herbert has tremendous arm talent, but he is not Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence in 2 years from now is going to be so amazing. He's going to win a Heisman. He's going to win a national championship. He's going to be the number one pick overall. He's going to have an NFL career like Peyton Manning. He's going to set records. There's just no doubt. The kid, unless he gets hurt, is so unbelievably talented. He's head and shoulders above everybody else. I'm going to say this out loud.
Ready? Okay.
The most talented quarterback in college football right now, period, hands down. Done.
I can't argue with that. I'm trying to think. I'm going to go down the list very quickly.
Tua?
And try to make some counter arguments.
Haskins is there. You know, you got guys that are Heisman candidates. Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for him to hit the Heisman hype here. When's that going to happen?
I don't know. But, yeah, Tua, let's see. I can't even think of a guy that would be even close. I thought Drew Locke had that possibility, but he's been having a very average season.
Nah, he's been average.
Yeah, absolutely. I think without question he is.
If he played the entire season, and you got to remember, 54 attempts for Kelly Bryant.
Yeah.
34 attempts for Chase Brice because Trevor Lawrence got hurt and mop-up time. If he had 200 attempts right now, completing 68% of his passes, you would guess that he would be right around 18 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, passer rating in the 170 range.
Yeah. And maybe an interception or two more, but yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. But he doesn't really throw them that often. So, you know, so he'd be in the Heisman discussion. Let's say 18 touchdowns, 3 interceptions.
Yeah.
And this is for a team that runs the ball a lot.
Yeah, Travis Etienne has double touchdowns than any other running back in the ACC.
Right. So, I don't know. Trevor has lived up to his ranking and then some. And I think his numbers are just going to get better and better and better.
Yeah, he's incredibly talented, and I'm happy that we had him number one, because there was a lot of Justin Fields talk, and he's just the wildcat option sometimes for Georgia right now, and that will change maybe in the future.
It will. Justin, I don't know Fields why they're doing
special
that.
And JT Daniels, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know why they think that he can't throw the ball.
I don't know. I can't figure out a lot of things in college football.
No.
All right, ready? Another question.
Yes.
The worst top 15 team in the country is?
Well, hold on. Before you ask me this question, you have to tell me to look at the top 15. Because
all right, look at the top 15.
I'm not that versed.
Figured you had it open.
The worst top 15 team in the country
is? It rhymes with?
Boshington?
No. It rhymes with Rucky.
Kentucky, come on.
Yeah, they just beat Vanderbilt by a touchdown. I mean, come on. That's a joke. They're 6-1. I get it. They're having a good season. Blah, blah, blah. Lost to Texas A&M and Kellen Mond, who's, you know, still hasn't panned out as a 5-star. I was hoping he would pan out as. But
no.
Vanderbilt, 14-7. Please. I put him on shame this week. You're 6-1. You're number 12 team in the country, and you beat Vanderbilt by one touchdown. I know Benny Snell, who listens to this quite a bit. I just got an email from Dave Barry. Are you not listening to us, Dave?
Dave, you can't be multitasking.
Sorry, guys. I'm killing two birds with one stone here. Why are you checking your email, Mike?
Yeah,
it,
Mike.
It pops up.
Yeah, we can't be bothered during this. We're in a stream of thought.
Yeah, I don't want to mess you guys up. I don't want to ruin the flow.
Okay.
Those are some big commitments you're talking about there.
Yeah.
Too. Some really overrated players that are about to pop. One of them in particular. You know who I'm talking about.
Let's skip Kentucky because no one cares, Mike. Jim Harbaugh said this today, according to Graham Couch. And I'm not sure who Graham Couch is. He is... Oh, the Lansing State Journal sports columnist. Jim Harbaugh on Mark D'Antonio. It's not a product of the team, but their program. Coach D'Antonio was right behind it. That had all the earmarkings and evidence of an orchestrated stormtrooper march.
Nice. I love when Nazi references are made. It's just always the smartest thing to do, is to make those references. Well, your boy Ari Wasserman, you know how much we love him.
Yes.
He said, I'm beginning to question recruiting rankings after Purdue beat Ohio State. What say you, Gorney?
Oh, my God. Other people have questioned this,
Doesn't
too.
Doesn't that enrage you?
Not really, because the people that say it are just so naive and just don't know anything. There have been studies done. Studies. 10 years. Of if you recruit, how many 4-stars and 5-stars you recruit. And if you do not recruit 5-stars, you will not win national championships. It has been proven. There has been no deviation from that. It's if you recruit 5-star kids, you will win. Recruiting rankings. Alabama has won, what, 10 of the last 12? Look at how they've been on the field. Clemson, top 5 every year. Look how they've done on the field. Do you think that's just an anomaly? Do you think that's just a complete coincidence?
See, I got you fired up.
We do not base our rankings off of where the kids commit. They're ranked far before that. Their rankings change far up and down. Kids that commit to Clemson get dropped. Kids that commit to Clemson get put up. And still, Alabama has the best class every year. Ohio State is high. They win the Big Ten every year. Clemson is high. Oklahoma is high. Texas has been recruited Caden Stearns last year, and he's been one of the best safeties in the game. They're a top 10 team. Georgia is high. Do you think this is
last year?
Yes. Do you think this is all just a complete coincidence? Because Purdue beats Ohio State once, and maybe we had Rondale Moore ranked wrong, that does not mean that they would beat them 10 times, and it doesn't mean that Purdue's any good. Purdue lost to Eastern Michigan. Should we rank Eastern Michigan kids higher because they beat Purdue? It's the dumbest argument I've ever heard.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to get you fired up.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see Gavonte Turpin got arrested for assault Sunday?
Assaulting a family member.
What the heck?
I know. I didn't know he could, like, he's so short. I didn't know he could reach up and punch somebody. I didn't think he'd reach his head.
Well, his family might be just the same.
Just as short.
Right. Just as short. He was the whole reason that game was interesting on Saturday.
Yeah.
The whole reason.
Yeah.
Other than that, it was a joke. So, you didn't answer my question. Who is the most overrated top 15 team? Is it Washington?
Washington.
They've been disappointing this year.
Yeah.
They finally won a game by more than one touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah,
Washington. But they lost to Auburn, who's bad.
Yeah.
Who else did they lose to?
They lost to Oregon.
Oh, they lost to Oregon when they missed the field goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are over. They are overrated, but 15 is not 12.
Yeah, 12. I'm still not super sold on Florida at 9. We'll see.
I'd say they're the sleeper of the group. Nobody's paying attention to Florida at all. It's all about Georgia, but number 9 in the country. We're heading toward the cocktail party. Are you ready?
And I'm not. And I'm certainly not convinced of Texas at 6. That's a little high for my liking.
Well, you beat Oklahoma, you get up there.
You
gotta be ranked ahead of Oklahoma, and Oklahoma shouldn't be lower than 8, should they?
No, they shouldn't. I am ready for the world's largest outdoor cocktail
will
party.
Will you be drinking?
No, because you're not allowed to call it that anymore because it's offensive or someone got drunk and arrested.
Another
so
snowflake?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So
snowflake issue?
Saturday, I will, I'm sure, be watching that game. I'm very interested in it. I've attended the game for many years. They have terrible food at that. They serve hot dogs, which is so embarrassing.
I love hot dogs.
Yeah, but come on. Florida, Georgia, you should have some, you know, crawfish or something southern. Crawfish just came to mind for Southern there. I don't know why.
Yeah, but, I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know why either. But have something. Have something nice. It's a great stadium, an awesome environment. Half the stadium is red. Half the stadium is blue. The parking lots are packed with people having beverages. It's fun, great environment. And then I get hot dogs in the press box. Those were the lean years. You know what I'm saying, Mike?
I don't know. I would be pretty happy with hot dogs in the press box.
I think Georgia takes care of business. The spread is 7. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, but I definitely think Georgia wins the game.
We would be remiss if we didn't leave without talking about Nebraska.
Yes.
They love you so much on the Red Sea Scrolls. They love your support for the program itself.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that victory?
Very good victory for them. Terrible look by Minnesota. 53 points they gave up. And you know what, Mike? They're going on a 2-game winning streak. I'm predicting it right now. They're hot because Bethune-Cookman comes to Lincoln this week. And you're not going to lose to Bethune-Cookman. And in my fantasy stuff this week, Nebraska player at every position. Quarterback, running back, wide receiver.
No.
You have to get him in the game against Bethune-Cookman. Come on.
I guess so. There aren't too many layup games at this late stage of the season.
And then just like stocks, you sell them all going into the Ohio State game the following week.
So you think you should take Martinez?
Absolutely.
As your quarterback this week?
Definitely. There's no
Stanley
doubt about
Morgan,
it.
For sure.
No, J.D. Spielman.
Oh.
They're going to Spielman more and Divine Ozigbo. So all three of those guys and the Nebraska defense. I don't care. It's Bethune-Cookman.
How do you know they're not good?
They do score points, actually, but they're scoring points against North Carolina A&T, South Carolina State. I actually sadly spent time looking this up yesterday, which is a sign of maybe heading to the window to jump out. But I don't know if I'd take their defense, but they're going to score points. If they could score 53 on Minnesota, they're feeling good about themselves. The Wildcats are coming into town. Early start. Martinez is going off.
What if they lose to Bethune-Cookman?
Then Scott Frost should be on the hot seat. He should be out of there.
You think so? Yeah. That's the one. Do you think there'd be a meltdown, perhaps?
Yes, there would be quite the meltdown.
Well, you got the Gatorade shower, so congratulations, Nebraska. You were off to Schneid. UCLA has won 2 games in a row. Things are starting to normalize in college football a little bit. We're no longer looking at winless power programs. I think we can end it here if Dave Barry's done emailing.
All right. Well, you guys have my full attention now. We'll end the show here, and I'll just remind everybody real quick, please leave us a review on iTunes. It helps us out a lot. And you can also follow us on Twitter, @RivalsMike, @AdamGorney, and @RealDaveBarry. We will see everybody again next week.